brother Gino Cassieri, your instructor for the course entitled The Book of Joshua. Last time we were together, we began looking at lesson number 14, which covers chapter 13 in the book of Joshua, and that's where we're going to pick up. I direct you at this time to your course outline under lesson 14, the lesson's entitled No Time to Rest, Part 2. And last time we had gotten down, if you look on your course outline, under Roman numeral 2, we began looking at the material under F, and we said to it, which is entitled, Take the Place You Have Chosen, either with God's people or your own. And we brought out the point that God hates people who are lukewarm, amen. And we began to talk about the 2.5 tribes that settled or inherit the land east of the Jordan River, amen. And what I want to pick up is to talk about how the splits affect the whole nation. Splits affect the whole nation, discouraging and defeating them and potentially destroying them. What I want us to do is turn to Numbers chapter 32 at this point. Numbers chapter 32. In Numbers chapter 32, we want to look at verses 7 through 15. And wherefore, discourage ye the heart of your children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up under the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swears, saying, Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they had not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generations that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And in verse 6 of Numbers 32, to begin that passage, we read, And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And of course, those are the two tribes, along with the half a tribe of Manasseh, that wanted their inheritance east of the Jordan. And what we see here, what he's talking about, is that those that want to walk by sight can cause splits and divisions and arguments with those who want to walk by faith with God. And what we see here is they can discourage the whole nation, defeating them and potentially destroying them. The carnal ones come up with a compromise that would allow them to obey only so far, yet do their own thing. And look in Numbers again, chapter 32, as we pick up in verse 16 down to verse 25. And they came near unto him and said, We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. And of course, here is Gad and Reuben responding to what Moses just had to say that we just read. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them under their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, If you will do this thing, and if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, Thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. And of course, what they did here was, they said, Okay, we'll leave our little ones here, our children and our women, and we'll build fenced cities, we'll leave our cattle here, amen, but we'll go over and cross the Jordan with the rest of the nation of Israel to fight the war. So here they came up with some kind of a compromise that would allow them to obey, yet do their own thing. They still kept the land eastward of the Jordan instead of going over. And they did go over, but they didn't inherit the land. They didn't go with the rest to inherit that land. They went to war, but after the war was over, they went back. They went back over the Jordan to inherit the land eastward. And what we want to see here, it is the carnal ones who were destroyed first and taken captive when Assyria, and after them the Babylonians, conquer the surrounding countries. This is always the case with us Christians as well. Amen. You know, the carnal Christian, we read in the scriptures that Satan can take us captive at his will. Amen. We can be captives of Satan. We can be captives of the world. We can be captives of sin, the carnal Christian. Amen. Now, the tribe of Reuben, we want to go back to Joshua chapter 13 for a moment. The tribe of Reuben, we read, And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. And of course, he goes down here from down to verse 23 and describes the inheritance, the land that's given, and the cities that are given to Reuben. Amen. Now, the interesting part about Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, Reuben was the firstborn son of Jacob. After Levi, he gets first place. You know, first we talk about what the Levites were given. Amen. And next, now we have what inheritance is given to Reuben. Now, the descendants of Reuben, his children, however, were not very spiritual. And we go back in Genesis chapter 49, where we have the account of Jacob, where he blesses each one of his sons. And he says something interesting about Reuben in Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, in verses 3 and 4, and Jacob says about Reuben, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, in the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And he says, why? Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defileth thou it. He went up to my couch. And of course, if we turn over to Genesis 35, we'll see what Jacob was referring to. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 22, we read, and it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and laid with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. So we see that what was referred to here in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 3 and 4, we see here at one time that Reuben lay with his father's concubine. And so we see that when we went back, this is what, again, Jacob was talking about when he said about his son Reuben, unstable as water thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and then defileth thou it. He went up to my couch. So that's what, obviously, what Jacob was referring to. Now, the tribe of Gad, next, which was the second tribe that inherited the land eastward in the Jordan, we read about again, if we turn over to the book of Joshua, in chapter 13, Joshua chapter 13 with me. And in Joshua chapter 13, we see in verse 24, it says, and Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families. And then all the way down to verse 28, what's given is a description of the territory and the cities and so forth of the land and the inheritance that was given to the tribe of Gad. Now, then we see also that half the tribe of Manasseh received their inheritance east of the Jordan River. And we see this in verse 29 of Joshua 13. And we read this. And Moses gave inheritance unto the half the tribe of Manasseh. And this was the possession of half the tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. And then all the way down to verse 32, again, we are given the description of the land and the cities and so forth that was given to the half the tribe of Manasseh east of the Jordan River. And of course, Manasseh was one of the sons of Joseph, and from the two sons of Joseph, the other being Ephraim, we see this tribe of people split. Their home was divided. Half the tribe of Manasseh was divided. And we read in the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 12, and verses 51 to 53, we read this. Jesus said, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Christ makes us choose our course, just as any coach or boss of mate or mate would. No way to have it our way. Will we just go happily along, apathetically? So we have to choose. Amen. Children of Israel chose. The 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, chose to be on the east of the Jordan River and not with the rest of the children of Israel, or inherit the land west of the Jordan River. Amen. And God makes us choose. We can either choose to be with God's people or on our own. And if we're on our own and not what we want to do, that's second best. Amen. But you need to make up your mind. God hates lukewarm people. You're going to be with God, God's people, and do it His way, or you're going to do it your own way. But don't be double-minded in all your ways. Be unstable like the tribe of Reuben was. And then we see, as we continue on in lesson 14, we see on the Roman numeral 2, G, which is watch out for Balaam. Watch out for Balaam. And let's look again in the book of Joshua, chapter number 13, and verse 22. And the Bible says this: Balaam, also the son of Peor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. So we see that Balaam was a casualty as Israel came into the land to possess it, to conquer it. Now, Balaam gets mentioned a lot in the Bible. He is a very important enemy to understand and stay away from. And if you want to read some background information on this character, Balaam, you can learn more about him. We won't go there, but from Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, through Numbers chapter 25, verse 3, will give you the background information about Balaam. Now, we read about his death in Numbers 31:8. Numbers 31, chapter 31 of Numbers, in verse number 8. Numbers 31, and it says, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, Reba, five kings of Midian, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And of course, the name Balaam means subverter. The name Balaam means subverter. Now, the death of Balaam. Now, Moses meets Balaam and destroys him. He was a prophet, but a lost one, unsaved, ungodly, and a tool of the devil. Jesus reminds us, if we turn to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 7, Jesus reminds us, beginning in verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we see Jesus reminds us here very clearly that not everyone that does so-called religious things really know him. Amen. And that was the case with Balaam. He was not a believer. He was ungodly, he was unsaved, and he was a tool of the devil. We want to look at briefly the dangerous effects of Balaam. First, there is the way of Balaam, which is mentioned in the Bible. The way of Balaam. Let's turn to 2 Peter with me for just a moment. 2 Peter in chapter number 2 in verse 15. The Bible says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And what was the way of Balaam? His own way. His own way. Not God's way. His own way. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. His own way, as was Cain's, amen, and Korah's. Rebellious. Counter to God's way. Then we also read something here in the Bible that it is called the era of Balaam. The era of Balaam. Looking in the book of Jude with me for a moment. The book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. The error of Balaam. And that was that his faith and commitment could be bought and sold for a price. That reminds us that most Christians today gladly sell out their commitment to Christ for a few bobs, or for less persecution, or less trouble. They value things they can see more than eternity in their faith and love for Jesus Christ. Also, the Bible talks about the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam. Look in Revelations with me, the next book in the Bible after Jude, in Revelations chapter number 2 and verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And the doctrine of Balaam was that God's people ought to become just like the world, and therefore an abomination to God, thereby forcing God to have to destroy even his own people, as he had to do the Jews. You know, Satan's primary focus is to devour Christians, ruin their lives, so that they are no good for God to use. Satan ruins us by defiling us. Amen. Look in 1 Corinthians for just a moment. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, in verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants us to defile our temple. And I sincerely believe if a Christian continues in a sin and won't get right with the Lord, that the Lord may just possibly take him home early, so he won't persist in that sin and be a poor testimony to the Lord. When we are unstable as Christians, or unusable as Christians, then others cannot get saved. Amen. They must see Christ among us as Christians. Amen. Ungodly Christians affect more people away from God than godly people affect them for God. Amen. And we see that Balaam uses miracles, sex, and prophetic power to lure us. Amen. As we come to the conclusion of lesson number 14, as we've just gone through the 13th chapter of Joshua, there are a series of questions I'd like us to look at and answer to help us. Help us as Christians individually and collectively. And some things that we have learned hopefully from this lesson. First one is, why does a Christian need to be filled, possessed with the Holy Spirit? And the reason for that is because otherwise their life will fill back up with worse sins than the ones that first dominated them. In other words, there are no vacuums in nature. Next, we asked the question, when should a Christian get filled up with the Holy Spirit? Well, when they are completely emptied, or when they have begun the process of emptying themselves. How does the Christian get filled with the Spirit? Well, by conquering sins in areas that are under the dominion of the devil, and then replacing that area with God, with something godly and pure, and inviting the Holy Spirit to take charge of that area. Next question we want to ask is, the first step to Christian victory is to remember what? Well, we should remember our past victories. You see, when we forget what the Lord has done in our lives, we shrivel up in despair because we have so quickly forgotten Him. If you have no past victories, then either one of these two things apply. You never got saved, you need to get saved. Number two, you have been away from God too long, and you need to repent. Here's another question we need to ask. How long should a Christian hesitate before deciding their commitment to Christ? Well, the answer to that is simply as soon as possible. He who hesitates is dead. Amen. What was the problem with Balaam? Well, he was not saved, could be bought, he was a traitor, and led others away from God using miracles and sex. The battles after salvation can be compared to what kind of fighting? We saw that they're compared to cleaning up battles. Amen. Cleaning up. What is one of the greatest dangers to a church? Well, we saw a division, where half want to live by faith and the other half want to live by sight. The ones who try to live by faith will most often be discouraged by those who want to live by sight. That concludes our study in lesson number 14 on chapter 13 of Joshua. Now, at this time, we're going to begin a new lesson number 15. And in lesson 15, we'll be looking at chapter 14 in the book of Joshua. Now, lesson 15 is entitled, I Want That Mountain. First, I'd like to begin with a little bit of an introduction. Several sections of the Bible seem rather dull to the Christian, primarily because they simply are. God seems to make sure everything is dealt with thoroughly, but secondarily, because the words are not being panned, sifted, in other words, for the great truths that God has stored within them. We can be sure that God never wasted a single drop of ink in his scriptures. Amen. I remember when the devil was tempting our Lord in the wilderness, and Jesus, one of the replies to the devil was this, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we see, we can be sure that God never wasted a single drop of ink in his scriptures. So in sections like what we're about to study, we need to prepare to do some panning for some nuggets, amen, that we're going to find. Don't look to retire as a Christian in this life, because there is so much more ahead to fight for and claim for Christ, be it the mission field, the conversion of our country to biblical values. In other words, there is no time allowed for Christians to rest from seeking the lost, sending out missionaries, and serving our Lord. We are currently studying the process that God had Joshua go through in dividing the promised land to the major tribes of Israel. And of course, this is covered and will be covered in Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, and all the way through chapter 17 of Joshua, verse 18. We are now turning our attention to the promised land itself, not at the land on the other side of the Jordan. Amen. So we've dealt with in the previous lessons with the 2.5 tribes that received their inheritance east of the Jordan. Now we're actually going to go into the promised land. Amen. And look at that. So as we begin our lesson 15, entitled Claiming Your Mountain. And we want to look at some, first of all, some nuggets. Some nuggets found in God's design, the process of dividing the land. Let's look in Joshua chapter 14 now, and we'll look and read down through verse number 5 together. Joshua chapter 14 now, verses 1 through 5. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribe of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded, by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Now, Eleazar is Aaron's son. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 with me for a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse number 6. Deuteronomy 10, verse 6. And the children of Israel took their journey unto Beeroth of the children of Jaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar, his son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead. So we see when Aaron died, of course, Aaron was the first high priest. He died, and his son, Eleazar, took over. Amen. Remember, compare the land, the promised land, to the Christian life. The abundant life is promised by Christ. Remember there, over there in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, in verse number 10, Jesus said this, said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. God's design throughout Scripture is repeated over and over through many situations, so that the student of the Scripture sees the patterns and how they work from every possible angle. Look with me for just a moment in the book of Psalms, and I want us to look at Psalm 95 for just a moment. Psalm 95 in verse number 10. It says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. What a sad commentary. The children of Israel grieved God for 40 years. That's why they wandered in their wilderness. And they had the presence of God right there, but they didn't know his ways. God's design God's design for the Christian? Well, you have an inherited country, a place you can call home, a place where you live and reside in, not run away from. With Israel, this was the land of Canaan. Amen. With Israel, this was the land of Canaan. You have a land that is chosen by lot. And we're talking about our assignment in life, our lot in life, the place that is not a holiday or vacation spot, but a place of battle and assured victory. You can obtain what lot you want in life. God will give you what you want sometimes. But God wants you. He wants to show you His way, His place for you. Let the Lord, my friend, in His word reveal it to you. That's why it's so important to be daily in the word of God. Because that's how God shows you what He wants you to do for Him, what lot in life He has for you. Most Christians want things their way. But let God show you your place, your plot in His kingdom, what Christ gave you. In Philippians chapter 1, we read this in verse 29. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Amen. Just as the Levites were to receive only cities, and we saw that as we read in Joshua chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. We have a city of our own, just as Abraham did. And we see this in Hebrews 11 with me. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And of course, we're talking about the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is our city, is a better country that as Christians we should be looking for. Amen. Everything had already been laid out, commanded, and explained before by Moses in the book of the law. And we read this in Joshua chapter 14, verse 5. The Christian does not have to fly and just figure it out on their own. No need for new revelation. We just need to study what is given in God's word. Well, we're going to stop right there. And when we meet again, we'll continue on with lesson 15 and finish out the 14th chapter of Joshua.